Speaking of the last two decades, the world has watched on as millions died across the Middle East. Millions more were displaced. In 2020, Afghanistan and Syria are still chasing elusive peace deals brokered by third parties. And in Yemen, there appears no end to the violence. All of this has been broadcast in real time, with journalists reporting from the front line, activists live streaming evidence of war crimes straight to social media and around the globe. The ABC's Sophie McNeil has been amongst those journalists. She spent 3 years as our Middle East correspondent. She's just written a book. It's called We Can't Say We Didn't Know. Sophie McNeil, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks so much for having me, Fran.
Sophie, we're not saying we didn't know, are we? Isn't what's writ large is that we can't fix it. We can't stop it. Is that the problem? If you look at something like the Syrian conflict, which has been going on for nine years.
Yeah.
It's not that the world hasn't known about it. It's not that the UN hasn't tried to fix it.
Exactly. We've run out of excuses, Fran. I think in the noughties
we had... But is that an excuse or is that a reality?
Look, I think that there was a time in the noughties where we had a lot of hope. You know, you set up the International Criminal Court. There was a lot of...
Right to protect.
Yeah, the responsibility to protect. And there was a lot of thought that, you know, if we'd really seen what was happening in Rwanda, you know, if we knew exactly what was happening in Europe, you know, with what was happening in Kosovo, if, you know, even the last few months of the Sri Lankan civil war, there wasn't really access. We didn't see that live on our phones. But in the past decade, the way we covered war has changed. You were able to watch what was happening in Aleppo live on Twitter, live on YouTube. It's all there. So I think it's really exposed the fact that now we have run out of excuses. And in this book, I question, what does this mean now when the world population's looking the other way and not acting to prevent the outrageous atrocities that we've seen in the past decade in the Middle East? What does that mean for us? Because it has changed. And as a reporter covering these issues, it's incredible to get to the point where you go to a country like Yemen, you film children starving to death in front of you, you put it prime time on the ABC foreign correspondent. A couple of months later, you know, Christopher Pyne goes to Riyadh to try and sell more Australian defence industry products and weapons to that country. So I do think it is a new age of impunity, and we're seeing that even in our politics, not just the Middle East. And this is what I explore in my book.
Okay, a new age of impunity. Let's talk about that, because as you say, you know, as I mentioned before, we've had peace deals, short-term peace deals to help get people safely through humanitarian corridors to get them out to safety. It just creates another problem on another border, but that aside, we've had UN recommendations, we've had agreements from the warring parties, but nothing has changed and the conflict hasn't stopped. What would you have the world do to intervene?
I think there's a lot of questions to be asked about what could have been done in 2013 when the Obama put down the red line and the precedent that set, that the US retreated. I think that when you talk to Syrians who have lived under 9 years of this civil war and who would rather live in a tent in the snow and risk their children freezing to death, which is what we've actually seen in the last few weeks in Syria, rather than go back and live under Assad's control, that's what they always ask you. You know, why did the world do nothing? And I think the thing is, we think that it won't affect us and we don't act. So you'll see that, for example, in Europe, it's only in the past week when Syrian refugees have got to the Greece border and there's fears of another European refugee crisis that suddenly, oh, look, we have to do something about Idlib. We need a safe zone. We need a no-fly zone. But until there was that fear that would affect us, nothing was done. And what I argue is that the thing is, this does affect us, because now it's like all the rules have been broken, and that does affect us as we face things like a climate emergency or a growing authoritarian China. When we've lost all our moral high ground, when we've ignored these massacres and horrific war crimes in the last decade in the Middle East, then we're in a really difficult position now.
So the bigger picture, I suppose, longer term, goes to the UN, which is the body that's supposed to be our mechanism for dealing with these things globally, is broken. I mean, the resolutions don't work.
Council.
The resolutions can't get passed.
Yeah.
Then they get ignored with impunity.
Yeah, and even, you know, here you look at our own system, and, you know, last October we had Prime Minister Morrison argue and give a speech about negative globalism, you know, undermining the UN system. So how are we meant to turn to a country like China, talk about something like what's happening in Xinjiang, which we covered on Four Corners last year?
And with the Uyghurs.
With the Uyghur camps. Described as the worst human rights crisis on the world right now, a million citizens locked up in camps on the basis of religion. And our Prime Minister gives a speech talking about the UN system and how the rules don't apply. I mean, we've just lost, you know, we're so hypocritical right now that it's really hard now to deal with the world's really urgent crises.
Sophie, let's talk about the book and the story you tell of you operating in these zones, in this atmosphere that you've just been describing. You write that by the end of the 3-year stint as the Middle East correspondent for the ABC, you were ashamed to ask people for interviews because you realised their heartbreaking stories weren't doing anything to prove their desperate situations.
Yeah, they'd say in Aleppo, no, I'm not going to go film because we've been filming for 6 years. Everyone's seen us die and no one's, it doesn't mean anything. So you just, how could you respond to that? I mean, it's the truth.
And you filmed, I mean, we've seen a lot of your reports. A lot of reports have won awards, but they've had terrible scenes in them. You know, toddlers starving to death in Yemen, for instance. You know, that your reporting on the starvation in Yemen went global, but still people starved in Yemen and still the conflict goes on.
80,000 kids starved to death after I left.
So
what difference did it make?
What toll does that have on you as a reporter that you are producing these stories, you are revealing these truths? What is it, not so much on you, but what does it make you think about all of us?
Well, look, this story, I mean, this book is really a tribute to the amazing people I met, because that's what keeps me going. So you go in and out of places, you have an Australian passport, you're the luckiest person in the room always. And so you come home and you feel like you've never done enough. And so you write this book because you want to pay tribute to so many courageous people who risked everything to be on the right side of history. And some of them lost everything. Some of them succeeded. You know, I've got the story of Rahaf in there, the young Saudi teenager I was in a room with in Bangkok in January 2019, who managed to help change the process for women in Saudi Arabia. Women can now travel after the case of Rahaf went global. So there are individuals who managed to win, and then there are people who lost everything, but they're so courageous. And I'd like us to take some of that courage, because they chose to act. They endured huge self-sacrifice for what they thought
was
a greater
good. Let's talk about one of them that you feature in this book. And I must confess, I didn't know his name. He's a Syrian activist, Basel Katabil, eventually captured by the Syrian regime. He was called the Steve Jobs of Sydney. Tell us a bit about him.
So Basel Katabil was an amazing computer program who in the early noughties in Syria was credited with helping open up the internet. And in a country where information is so controlled, he did an incredible job and had a huge influence. And when the Syrian revolution broke out, Basel was perfectly positioned to try and get the news of the protests out, because the government blocked the internet. He was helping people use VPNs and send footage to international media organizations. He was traveling to Beirut secretly and getting cameras and video cameras and distributing them. And then he was arrested and jailed. Like 100,000 other Syrians, he went into the Syrian prison system and never emerged. And there is an incredible love story behind Basel's story with his beautiful partner, Noura, whose own father had spent years in Syrian prisons. And she ended up having to go to this prison 3 times a week to visit Basel for 3 years. And the courage of these people is just, it blows you away. Mm. And their story really encapsulates the tragedy that is Syria.
And I think you're right. The courage of the people that you document here in the book, it is inspiring. And I guess that's one thing that you can hope that the stories you've got tell do inspire many of us to do just a bit more. And if we all start to do a bit more, that could make a change.
That's what I think. And I think often, you know, a quick little bit of footage on the news, people in the Middle East, they look like helpless victims, but they're not. You know, they really have endured so much and have stood up, and I've met so many of them, and I just really think that what we need now is not hope. I hate it when people always say, you know, do you have hope? No, I think what we need is courage, and I think we actually need to learn from these people and see how they to risk their lives and gave up so much because they wanted to make the world a better place. And there are some huge lessons for us in that, I think.
Sophie, thanks for bringing us some of those lessons.
Thank you, Fran.
Sophie McNeil, a reporter with Four Corners, author of the book We Can't Say We Didn't Know. It's a terrific read. I do urge you to read it.